May these spoken words be faithful to the written word and lead us to the living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Do please sit down. Today is Trinity Sunday, as well as being Father's Day. So it presents the perfect opportunity to talk about God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But I'm told that a sermon on the doctrine of the Trinity is something that's rarely heard in churches on this day. Although I know that Alan preached on this last year. But I think he's glad to be off the hook this time. It's apparently far too dangerous. It's just too easy to preach heresy when attempting to describe the triune nature of our God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's so difficult that many people just avoid it completely. It's considered to be an impossible task, a bit like being a priest. Which is why yesterday, when I was ordained a priest right here, along with my friends Simon and Martin, we all said, "By the help of God, I will." We know that we're doing something that would be impossible in our own strength. But with God's help, with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, it becomes possible. God has called us, and so we trust that God will equip us to carry out our calling. That God anoints whom he appoints. And we heard in our reading from Romans that it is the Holy Spirit who will guide us into all truth. If God calls you to something, you don't need to worry about how you will do it, because you won't. Not in your own strength. God will help you and will make a way for you to do it. You just need to have faith that God is at work. And it's in this faith that some brave souls have attempted to explain the Trinity. Some have tried to describe God as being Father, Son, and Holy Spirit by using analogies. And one analogy is to say that God is like water. Because water can be found in three forms. When it's cold, ice. A bit warmer, liquid water. And when it gets hot, it turns into steam, doesn't it? So, water vapour, three forms. A bit like Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But that analogy doesn't really work. Because although water can be found in three forms, it can only take one form at a time. It can't be ice, liquid, and water vapour all at the same time. Yet God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all at the same time. God doesn't decide to be the Father one minute, the Son another, and then the Holy Spirit the next. God remains all three always. Another popular one, especially among the Irish, is the shamrock. And being half Irish myself, I'm quite fond of this one. And so it's one leaf with three parts. And it also makes a very good Sunday school lesson because children can draw the leaf and they can write Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in the three sections to remember the three parts, the three persons of the Trinity. And another version of this analogy is the very popular fidget spinner. Three parts, one fidget spinner. But these analogies don't really work either, because the three persons of the Trinity, although they're of one substance, like the leaf is, God isn't divided into three subsections. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and yet one undivided God. So that one doesn't work, so we can throw that one out too. The third one is a tasty one, at least. Some say that God is like a Jaffa cake. or even an egg. But I prefer Jaffa cakes, so I've gone with that one. The Jaffa cake has three different components, which are put together to make one Jaffa cake. If you bite into the Jaffa cake, you'll see that there is the spongy cake part, there's a delicious orange bit in the middle, and there's a tasty chocolate layer on the top. But this analogy falls down too, because the three things, they're not made of one substance, just like the persons of the Trinity are. They're totally different ingredients. So, as you can see, trying to explain the doctrine of the Trinity is extremely difficult to do, and no one's managed to do it completely. But I think the closest that anyone has come is probably the 15th century Russian icon writer Andrei Rublev. And he painted this icon, which I'm aware you won't really be able to see. And so for those of you who don't know it, I can leave it at the table on the back so you can have a look afterwards at what I've been talking about. But this icon is based on the story from Genesis chapter 18, when Abraham and Sarah welcomed three strangers who are thought to represent the three persons of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And here they are, sitting round a table, enjoying Abraham and Sarah's hospitality. Because that is what God is. Three persons. Not three components, subsections, or three separate and disparate forms. Three persons. Persons with whom we can have a real relationship. The three persons of the Trinity are in relationship with one another. God is in relationship. God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is community. There is a constant and mutual exchange of life and love taking place between the three persons, which means that everything that ever was and is to come was born out of and continues to depend upon this relationship. We have a relational God. And Rublev shows us that there's room for us too. Do you see? There's a gap in the painting here. Why did Rublev leave a gap? Well, because that gap is your invitation. Your invitation to come to the table and to enter into a relationship with God. You can choose to be a part of this community of love. And there's another thing. There's a rectangular shape on the side of the table in the painting as well. And some think that that rectangular shape may have originally had a mirror attached to it, just to make clear who the invitation is for. And if that's the case, then when you looked at this icon as it was originally, there'd be no mistaking who it is that God wants. You would see yourself right at the centre of this community of love, in the place where God wants you, sharing in God's life. That place is reserved especially for you. So what happens when you choose to take up your place at the table? When you enter into this relationship with God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Once you learn to take up your place within this community of praise and mutual sharing, you'll find that there are no distinctions for you between things like secular and sacred, natural and supernatural. In God's economy, everything is useful and usable, even our mistakes and our sin. There's nothing in our lives that cannot be redeemed and used to glorify our Father God. If you were to think of the worst thing right now and ask, even that? The answer would be yes. Or maybe, yes, especially that. In our reading from Romans, we heard that through our Lord Jesus Christ, we've obtained access to God's grace in which we stand. Because of Jesus dying for our sin, we're able to receive God's grace. And once we do, we'll find that God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. We enter into the divine dance of the Trinity, the divine flow of holiness and wholeness, and all of a sudden, everything is holy. And there's really only one thing that can stop you from entering fully into this wonderful life-giving relationship, into this divine flow of holiness and wholeness. And it's your own refusal to see, to enjoy, and to participate. Your own fear, doubt, self-hatred. That's what will keep you out. God is seeking the deepest possible communion and friendship with each and every one of us. No one is excluded. We're all invited to the table. That's the job description of God, to welcome us all in. That's what the Trinity is all about. And the only thing that will keep you out is you. Richard Rohr wrote an excellent book on the Trinity. And at the end of his book, he asks the question, what would happen in your life right now if you accepted what God has created and even allowed that everything in the universe is holy? Suddenly, this is a very safe universe. You have nothing to be afraid of. God is for you. God is leaping towards you. God is on your side. Honestly, more than you are on your own. Amen.